realize I was going to be here, so I come here to do another gig, but it's really nice to be here. It was really good listening to it, really like your stuff. Yeah. Alright, so this is a piece called The Greatest Chat of Mine. So I've got a friend who's a female poet, and she kind of said to me a little while ago, you know, Steve, in the face of the misogynism of rap and the kind of, you know, the degrading lyrics towards women, do you think that you could write a piece that really restores women to their rightful and respectful place in society? And my first response was, no way, I'm not paying you. But then I thought, I'm a poet, so I'll take the challenge. So this is called Greatest Chat of Mine. If I could put a mirror on your mind, on your forehead a big sign, advertising female pride, it would say beautiful inside, because intelligent is sexy, and I know this ain't a sign of the times, but I think I found the greatest chat of mine. If I could put suspenders on your life, I'd have some specially designed, some that money couldn't buy, because derived from the divine that sexy, sassy, silky, satin, sequin, gold outline kind of spiritual attire, arousing the reverse of men's mental desire to see women as more than sexual beings. I'm redefining panty lines with catwalk signs that point to changing rooms that undress the mind out of the stereotype, because you've been wearing it for eternity. But don't worry, baby, this is not Calvin Klein, this is one size fits all. Because tonight, designer doesn't matter, as long as you allow your mind to get undressed. Strip your ego, let me reclothe you in new concepts of self-consciousness. The complete package, sticking all the right boxes. Because everything I'm selling you is free. Let me enthrall you with this speech, divorce it from reality. The obsession with mainstream media. The social conditioning of the fashionista that convinced you that to be sexy you have to be bling and you have to be thin. Well, I've merely come to stimulate your thinking, fatten up your fortitude and add some weight to who you really are. Because your body language speaks to me of decades of distrust. Encounters with men that battle to find the common ground between love and lust. Those that only show regards for thrusting frontal parts. But I'm a guy that speaks with his feelings and thinks from the heart. I've come to convince you that it's okay to be unfaithful to the bad memories of the past. I want this moment to last. It's us against the clock. I want this moment to be godlocked in your memory and never forgot. I want to penetrate you so deeply that time stops, so the clock of connection can't tick too swiftly. Momentarily so immense, so intense that you miss when you're with me. This is healthy vested interest, not conquest. And whilst I know that most men just want to play with your breasts, I just want to lay my head on your chest and tango to the palpitations of your heartbeat and ballet to the inner rhythm of your beauty. So let's just be free. Let's dance and get entranced in the midst of some unsexual emotional immunity. Let's sway into the night like no one was watching, let the moon and the stars laugh at our immaturity. Let's heckle, let's giggle, let's ponder and fiddle with each other's personalities. Let's writhe and wriggle in acceptance of imperfection. Let's lust at our connection and arouse your aspirations and erect some affection. And I hope you like freaky foreplay, because I've got an explicit confession to make. I'm so sordidly in awe of your aura. I just want to kiss your karma. I just want to caress your character and feel your femininity. I just want to romance your resistance, have intercourse with your intelligence and normally blessed persistence. Make love to your longevity and ejaculate joy for your existence. Because I just have to lay my feelings bare and expose my attitude new. So baby, come and grope my gratitude. Because this is it, as good as it gets. This is bliss. The orgasmic, climactic coming to the realisation that somewhere in this world there really did exist a male feminist.
Looks long, but it's double spacing, and I'll read it quick. It's called Birdman's Spawn. It's about the Birdman Sweeney. When the bishop cursed the Birdman Sweeney with madness, he cursed all the Irish people with madness. So, I've never read it before. I puffed hatch, half wild, part man, king cock, beak fed, crowed upon the dawn of the roost of the high stool born, womb shell cracked in blazing red, last known heir to a barbed wire throne in a kingdom of spit, who was hushed up proper by a bishop link crook to the froth-born yak of my eloquent mush, and nailed by the claw-hooked hand of each wing to a shattering stained glass notion of gospel, the devil's own pack, half jokers and jacks, a straight card floss, part magic trick, come truth, strung up by the neck in the sheds of my youth, and condemned for the out-of-line caught of my jib to live in the liminal gloom of the chatterbox darkness, tied up in knots by slivers of iridescent light, to the hoot of the moon in the conjurer's night by the whispering, whispering, whispering world. I who am you, who is they, who is us, who is molten cerebral beneath the skull's crust, half cock, part gay, translucent, silent, still, come what may, who hovers in midair, vast bonnet flare, brazen as fuck, Sweet the frenzied spotlights of the raving sun. Naked in the rain, the candy bar town, besprinkled with visions that burst into wildfire, lit upon pitchforks. Trembling in the silence of unsullied flesh, in black debased basements carved the tangle of a fine spun cobweb of shuddering chills, I shrank out of sight in a bottle of pills, and fled from the ears of the nightingale's tune, who could fly off their cliff to the song of your grief, and perch upon branches light as a leaf in the gathering, gathering, gathering storm. I, who could ride on the fluttering steeds of the tongue-bitten wind as the bitter word bleed from the fresh open wound of my jabbering mouth, blabbering and serving temptations of law, I post upon pedestals, grinding my teeth as you stand in the pulpit or kneel on your penitent knees in the pews to crucify God you would worship and whip, and then like a virus go spread the good news of your suffering soul condemned to restraint, beloved by demons and cursed by the saints, to live in my head away with the birds. Yes, it was I that taught them to sing, and I heard from the clap in the silver wasp feet of a mid-May meadow bell butterfly's wing, and was lost for a while in the wilds of myself, in a riddle of shadows that bulged from the wall, who was led through the dark by the hand, by the blind, who was I of the muttering, muttering, muttering mind. I, who could fly in the shadows of dusk, wept for the sun when the sun turned to rust, who could see every world in the maddening clouds, knew the lore of the crows, for I taught them to talk, who was picked up and worshipped in out-of-town bars, and burned every log by the fire of the soul that kindles the mind, set ablaze in the stars. Thus was I judged in your hollowed-out eyes, the blessing suggestion of what you believe is carved in the stone of your corpse-made creed. Yes, I confess, I confess, I confess, it was I who was tarred and then feathered, and hung upside down by the unbroken thread of my body, left in the stocks of apostates and thieves, with a red-necked and half-witted death dumb and blind, the thoughtless and spiteless minstrels of misfit, gathered to brandies of beetledom's leper, were displaying in full feather the wings of the mind. So I soared in my dementia and the keening of the wind, with the landscape bludgeon and the red sky skin, I wailed for flowering song of the shrub, I hooded the rook and speckled the dove, with the cardinal clerk with the Murrigan bless, I lay with the robin and reddened her dress, a fine holy madness to weaken most men, with the pennies they gather to bury the wren in the harrowing, harrowing, harrowing moss. So here, at last, with my rainbow spent, I sang in the full plume of my feather, like a lark in the nether to the brimstone sun. Every colour of the world was a feather of the mind. So I sang to the hacked-out presence of the haloed moon, to the adolescent sea of the dog-dog state, to the blue-clad battens of the gombeen law, to the foam-headed battens of the Pomodon doll, and my song was a godless land without faith. The span of the land sat back in your face, and poisoned with sorrow the seed of your men, piping my sickness from sorrow to glen, for I danced in your grave while before you were dead, and I spray-painted red not right in the head. Then I skipped to your mirror with the tip of my hat, I died in a dream and then never came back.
Thanks, Stephen. There we are. Two chords, please.
It's medium fast. Guitar, maybe rhythmically wistful, exploring chords or something. What's the beat, Michael? A one, a two, one, two, three, four. Other time. Five stanzas. Pillows sigh beneath our heads, placing the world in holes. We ponder summer love, summer pain.
Alright.
Your mouth, soft speaking mind, runaway words, slither and snake, for pastures greener, within mythical, other words. We leave behind us fields of fallen years, where love lies buried, awaiting resurrection in agnostic other times. We are but thieves in the night, stealing everything from each other, even pride, awaiting the day when summer speckled windows usher light, and only light, that we may unravel the essence of love, of sorrow.
Next we have Dora Mahoney.
especially of the westerns. And the Dez they're talking about is his niece. His niece is called Dez. And basically the plot is his brother-in-law has came and insulted him and gave out about his sister and blocked his toilet. That's the plot. When Dez was born, I discovered something about myself that I had no way of knowing before. As much as women find my face appealing, unappealing, children love it. Presumably it's the droopy eyes and big nose, but right from the beginning, I made Dez laugh. Elaine was as surprised as I was, and from having no opinion on being an uncle, I loved it. Daydreaming behind the bar on a quiet Monday afternoon, or cycling home along dark country roads, I'd find myself thinking about presents to buy Dez, or stupid things I could do to make her laugh. Things got so bad between Elaine and Mossy after the birth that I started babysitting a lot. I didn't have a whole lot else going on in my life, so I was glad to help. Elaine certainly needed it. Mossy got let go a few months before Dez was born, and he felt very sorry for himself. They could barely afford the rent on one income and were broke all the time. I know this because Elaine borrowed money from me for a cot and later for a buggy. Elaine gradually realized Mossy wasn't looking for a new job. She also learned the full extent of his drinking now that it was all coming out of her wages. As long as he was living with her and she was working, he wasn't entitled to any dole either. Mossy managed to resent Elaine for this. Push came to shove when Elaine was nearing the end of her maternity leave and facing up to the prospect of Mossy being the formative influence on Dez during her most tender years. When she turned him out, Mossy made the shrillest drama of it imaginable. But Elaine stuck to her guns, moved into a one-bedroom flat, and enrolled Dez in a creche. Mossy got his dole.
Next we have Mo Connor.
Gary.
I'm no guitarist.
Ah, yeah,
I don't know.
I'll play the sax.
Gary, you were beating this thing in have a sax there.
All right.
I'm seeing you've got a lot of love poems tonight.
Love, 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 nothing but love!
we have Seamus Harrington.
Percussions, brush, clarinets, warble, alto sax, gush, trumpet calling, tambourines jing, my hand lifting to cowbells ring, the sirens blare, notes so shrill, harmonicas peep, the whistles trill, banjos rat-a-tat, courtly reply to conch shell echo of piccolo high, xylophones hit, the tubas rude, bongos rhythm, get in the mood. Keyboards persistently, notes so brash, wrench horns burping, cymbals crash. Oboes blending, as fiddles in sync, give jiving cats no time to think. Big that's jazz.
Thank you. Next we have Michael Noon. No, not the finance minister.
I've come to see never want. I've come to see never wanted to be me. How I swam in the Nile, I don't mean that river that flows to Egyptian soil. Trying to wash reading, always left me reading. Full of vanity, lots of insanity, too narcissistic, driven ballistic. Sometimes sadistic, other times masochistic. Control of everything left me with nothing but high expectations for a being full of relations. People are despised, me are never criticised. Have to flow with the winds that blow. Don't pander to every desire, it will leave you in a bigger mire.
Next we have Charles Clark. Olive-skinned and easygoing, and with innumerable stories of girls,
asleep when the door opened, and she silently sprinkled holy water on our beds. But we were dead safe, the magazines under the pillows and the scapulars around our necks, miraculous medals stitched on the horsehair mattresses, repulsing the man with the wounds that we were terrified would visit before our next confession. If we had then known of garlic, it would have been hammered to the window ledge. Those scary nights were warmed by hot water, Bulmer bottles tightly corked by orange washers, and Grandma's heavy RIC overcoat. Once a week, when putting the sheets through the wringer in the backyard, she consoled herself that the water had done the real cleansing.
Thank you. Here we have Rosie O'Regan.
Really late at night, and I try and go to sleep, but it's good. Here, in the almost silence of deepening night, a stone's throw from the city, a nightlight kisses the darkness from your face, deep and quiet breathing. Over my head, a t-shirt dangles, drying on a cord stretched from window to kitchen cupboard, the length of your room, you, the length of the bed beside me. On slumber and downy. I close my eyes. The almost inaudible sound of the hush of distant traffic is a slow and steady river. Your breath, a tributary, carries me to sleep.
Bear with me.
Heavenly, O.C. Mass, M.C. Mass, is
can wrap up with your silver tongue. I still think you want me under your thumb. And if I can trust you with my wedding ring, I'll bet you turn out worse than the rest. When I'm when I fall off your chime, your overblown ego as big as the sky. In MC class 2, I think it is time. Get down off your soapbox,
give up on Brian.
My MC copy is a heavy to this wall. OMC class, MC class.
Thank you, Nicole Gallagher.